Open your scriptures to the book of Matthew. We'll start in the 25th chapter of Matthew. I'll be reading verse 34. Let's pray. Lord God, we could go home right now and say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. We could go home now and have been ministered to. But Father, I believe that you've given us a word. And it's a word that I need your help to deliver. It's a word that I believe will enlighten us, give us insights into your very nature. I pray that it come forth. I pray that it is said the way that you want it said. I pray that it will do the work that you send it forth to do, and I know that it will. And I ask you, Lord, to enlighten our eyes. Let us understand today you are a God of love, but you're also a God of light. And when you come within our lives, illumination comes. You're also a God of consuming fire. You're also a God which is a spirit. Lord, today let us see these aspects and these natures of you. And let us understand in a more perfect way how Jacob you loved, but Esau you hated. Let us understand that aspect of the nature of God. And let us leave here today being able to go forth as did Israel. And even beyond our borders, say how great and how magnificent our God is. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I ask you these things. And we all say, Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking again at the book of Malachi, but I like to begin. If I'm going to the Old Testament, I enjoy starting in the New and then going to the Old. And then if I'm going to be ministering in the New Testament, I like to go to the Old Testament to get our examples and bring them into the New. So we're starting in the New Testament to go to Malachi. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 31, is talking about the sheep and the goats. Sheep, I think, is the plural. But sheep and goats, and the judgment which is nations in that judgment time. Now, every person is a sheep or a goat. Every person will either be placed on the right or the left hand of God. Every person will experience this judgment. So that's not what I'm talking about. But what I want to emphasize on here in verse 34 is understanding that we can be blessed or cursed of God. It's according to the way that we respond to His covenant. How we respond to God will bring us blessing and being a sheep, or negatively, if we respond in a negative way to God, it'll bring us the cursing, which is the goat. Now, that's not where I'm ministering on sheep and goats, but I'm wanting to grab this blessing aspect out of this particular passage. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come you who are blessed of my Father. Say that back. Blessed of my Father. Inherit the what? The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is a kingdom that has been prepared from the foundation of the world that God wants people to inherit. And if you inherit this kingdom, then you are blessed of my Father, Jesus said. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Now, looking down into verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones. King James Bible just says cursed ones. Into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Every individual will be put in one of these classifications. Every person is in one of these classifications. You are blessed of God or you are cursed. And the same God does both. Our God is a God of love, but He also is a consuming fire. He came in flesh, but He's also spirit. In Him there dwells no darkness at all because He's the God of light. And we're going to look at that, of illumination. Now, what I want to show us here is that the major message today in the church is choose Jesus, receive Jesus. I want us to understand we don't get to choose Jesus. The message that says, I beg you to choose Jesus, rather than choosing the devil, is an erroneous message because we do get to receive Him or respond to Him. But He does the choosing. We got to understand that principle. God does the drawing. Jesus does the choosing. It's not your purpose and my purpose to choose Him, because He gets to choose us. We don't wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to choose Jesus. You might wake up one morning and choose Jesus, but it's because He's already chosen you. Now let's look at this and make sure that this is laid. I know you've seen it, and I know I've said it before, but I want to go through this because it's going to help us with Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Now let's look in the book of St. John at chapter... Let's go to chapter 14 to start with. St. John, chapter 14. Oops, chapter 15. Verse 16. Well, verse 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. How many want to be a friend of Jesus? I call you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You chose me. Do what? Did I read that wrong? I'm sorry. Please see, we don't get to choose Him. We get to respond to Him, but He does the choosing. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And did what? Appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Does He expect us to bear fruit? That's why He chose us. And that your fruit should remain. In other words, we're to leave something. When we're gone from this aspect of life, we should be leaving something. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. We leave something. I want you to leave fruit, and fruit that remains, that wherever, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. This is my command, that you, what? Love, agape, one another. Now understand that the choosing has got to do with the loving. God loves you when He's chosen you. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but what? I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Please understand, Jesus does the choosing. And when you're chosen, how blessed are you? Grasp that. Because we have been fed this garbage that we get to do the choosing, then we have an aspect of Jesus Christ that He becomes our slave. Because we get to choose Him. But we're His friends because He chooses us. He chooses us. He's not our slave, folks. He's in covenant with us. He will respond covenantally to you and I because He is in covenant with us and because He loves us. But He chose us. The message that you get to choose is erroneous. Do you see that? Because you don't get to choose. We get to respond when He chooses us. He came to His own received Him not. But unto them that did receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. You get to respond because He comes. But He does the choosing. From that choosing comes His love. All right. Now, John chapter 6. Jesus does the choosing. Father does the drawing. John chapter 6. Verse 44 and 45. It's interesting here because Jesus is talking about the bread. He's talking about the bread that came down from heaven. And that they were saying, well, aren't you Joseph's son? Doesn't your mother live? Don't we know your mother? How can you be the bread that came down from heaven? And Jesus answered in verse 43 and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In other words, if you're having problems with eating me, don't worry about it, because the Father hasn't told you or called you yet. You can't come and eat of me unless the Father tells you and lets you know to come and eat of me. In other words, this is not of your own choosing. Now let's get this.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How do we get to come? We have heard and learned of the Father. Jesus chooses, Father tells us and draws us, and then we come to Jesus. Do you see that? It's not optional. In other words, you don't wake up one day and say, well, today I'll be a Christian. We don't get to choose other than to respond properly to Him. Jesus chooses. Father speaks it to us. He teaches us that we need to go to Jesus, and then we do it. That's how we come to the Lord. Then we're born of the Spirit. You can't be born of the Spirit unless you've heard it in your spiritual ear from the Father. Well, I just want to see this because it's so necessary. Number one, to understand the message of I get to choose Jesus, or either I get to respond to Jesus. But also, number two, what I want to go to right now, Malachi. Turn to Malachi chapter 1. And understand that God loves us because He's chosen us. If we're chosen of God, then we're loved of God. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now I want to say a few things, and I'm coming back to that thought, because I want us to understand a little bit more about this book of Malachi. The book of Malachi is an oracle. It's a burden. It is a covenant dissipation. What we have here before us is two covenant members in a courtroom talking the covenant out. If you can see it the way that I want to project it to you, it is Israel accusing God of not doing His covenant part. It is God on the stand having to reply to Israel and say, yes, I have, and this is how I've done it. It is covenant. Look at verse 1. Of chapter 1, the oracle, the NAS Bible says, the King James Bible says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. All right, let's get this. The word oracle there is the word massa, M-A-S-S-A in the Hebrew. And it means the burden. This is a heavy word in the book of Malachi. It's a heavy word. A couple of weeks ago, I preached from Malachi 2. And then I didn't go back to it because it was so heavy. I didn't go back to it for a couple of weeks. And now you know it's time to go back again. But it's a heavy thing. And you saw the heaviness on me. And I tried to, as I gave that heavy word, apologize at the same time. And many of you came to me and says, Pastor, stop trying to apologize for the word. But it's a heavy thing, you see. And the last thing you want to do is put things on people and burden them down. But you want them to understand the greatness of God and the principles that are in God's Word. And so that it'll work for them. And their lives will be blessed. Blessed ye, chosen of my Father. It's a heavy word. It's a burdensome word. But the thing that I want to point out here that I don't know if I've ever said here before is the word Lord. Do you see the word Lord there in verse 1? Capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. Opposed to Lord, capital L, little O, little R, and little D. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord, capital L, little O, little R, and little D. We have two Hebrew words here translated Lord in our English. This word Lord that's concerning what Malachi's burden is the word that we use for Jehovah. Okay? It's the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh. And it's translated Jehovah. And what it is always is the covenant God, Jehovah. And when you read capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, it's talking about the God of covenant, Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the omnipotent God. Now, this word, L-O-R-D, usually, and it's translated differently, it has different words also, but it's primarily, primary message is the ruler. This one is the ruler. And there it speaks of Jesus. the ruler or the magistrate or the or that rules over. But Lord in the capitals is Jehovah, Yahweh. It is covenant. So what we have here then, as Malachi opens up, he says, this is the burden, the oracle, the heaviness of the word, the covenant of the Lord, Jehovah. Do you see that? This whole thing is covenant. This is what it's about. It's the heaviness of the covenant of the Lord. Now, I know Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. I know that. And when we do cast our burdens upon him, he carries them every day for us. But some of the things that are composed in there are kind of heavy. Kind of heavy. And I want us to grasp what I'm projecting here to start off with is this is a covenant dissipation. These two individuals, like Israel and Jehovah, are facing each other and they're discussing covenant. They're discussing each other's responsibility. And God is being on trial. If you can somehow imagine that. How many of you have ever put God on trial? But God, if you love me, but God, how have I robbed you? But God, why don't you receive my offerings? Why don't you respond to my offerings? All of these were questions covered here in Malachi. And they come to God with seven distinct questions that God is on the stand and replies back to them covenantally about. Let's look at those questions and then I can get into the first one. I just want to set this for you so that we can see what's happening here in Malachi. The first question that Israel brings to God is found there in chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Which Lord is that? Jehovah Lord. Covenant. I have loved you, says Jehovah. But you say, how have you loved me? How have you loved us? That's the first question. Today in the body of Christ, and we're going to be looking at this in just a second. Today in the body of Christ, there is a great misunderstanding of love. Tremendous. We're going to leave with a better understanding. I really feel sure of it now. I feel that it's going to be a little easier than I had thought it would be. The second question is found in chapter 1 and verse 6. The end of the verse says, how have we despised thy name? God is covenantally responding to them as to how they had despised his name. Do you see that? Did I say the right verse? Okay. Chapter 2. This is verse 14. Third question. Yet you say, for what reason? Now, what they're asking for what reason is, if you back up to 13, they had been coming to the altar. They'd been crying and boo-hooing and screaming and giving sacrifices to God and doing all these things, and God was not responding to their offerings. And they wanted to know, why aren't you responding rightly to our offerings? How many of you tithe? Okay. A lot of you. Most of you. Most of our folks tithe. Now, how many of you, though, have tithed and you still haven't seen God respond properly to your offering? The way you want him to respond. Okay. That's what they're asking. Now, the answer is simply this. You have allowed your children to marry pagans. That's the answer, folks. I'm sorry. You have allowed your children to marry pagans and your heart is set on divorce. Now, that was 2 weeks ago. You see why it was so heavy. That was heavy message. That was 2 weeks ago. But that's why a lot of times the father does not respond properly to our offerings and our sacrifices is because we're allowing our children to marry pagans. Speak to us, Lord. Whew. The fourth one. Chapter 2, verse 16. No, that's not where I want. Verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, how have we wearied you? They ask the Lord, how have we wearied you? And he tells them. And then finally, number 7 is in chapter 3, verse 13. The end of the chapter, end of the verse. What have we spoken? No, that's not what I wanted. Here we are. Will a man rob God? I'm in verse 8. Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? Okay? How do we rob God? You know this. Tithes and offering. So because we've robbed God with our tithes and offering, our whole nation's cursed. That's what it says. Oh, we want a righteous nation, and we want our children to be righteous, but we won't pay tithe so that we can raise our children up righteously. We can have ministry to put into our children, and we can raise them up righteously. Was that number 6 or number 7? 6? Yeah. Okay. Now then, chapter number 7, chapter 3, verse 13. The last part of the verse says, what have we spoken against thee? Now, we're going to touch all of these, not today, but those are messages in each one of them in themselves. But that is the book of Malachi. And it pictures to us covenantal people who come before God and say, God, I want to know why this is happening to me. And God says, this is why this is happening to you. Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever wanted to know why in the world something's happening? I'm doing all I know to do. Lord, I'm walking in all I know to walk in. Well, I pray that through this time that we're studying the book of Malachi, that we'll find out why some things are happening to us. God is a God of love, yes. We've got to understand that. But Jacob, I loved, and Esau, I hated. Not only in God is there the aspect of love, but there is the nature of hatred. I know that doesn't go good with us Christians. But there are sheep and goats. And the same God that blessed one people will curse another. All right. With that said, today I want to touch the first question. How hast thou loved us? Chapter 1, let's read verses 2 through 5. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I have made his mountains a desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals. And the King James Version says the dragons of the wilderness. Though Edom says, we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts. They may build up, but I will tear down. And men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is indignant, how long? Forever. And your eyes will see, and you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. If I can get this across to us today, if I can get it across to us how Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, and if with the Holy Spirit's help I can, we'll walk out of here saying, as he promised, Lord, you are magnificent even beyond the borders of Israel. I want him to be magnificent in America, don't you?
Amen.
I want him to be magnificent in my home, don't you? I want him to be magnificent in my finances, don't you? I want him to be magnificent in my children's life, don't you? It's all in here. All those questions. He says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Now, to understand this, you have to have a little scriptural knowledge. And I can't go back and turn to all these passages and scriptures and project this to you properly. But Jacob and Esau were twins. They were Isaac's sons. They were twins. Somebody tell me who was the firstborn.
Esau.
Esau, by rights, was the one who received the blessing and the inheritance. Right? But which one did God choose? But which one did Isaac want to choose? But who gets to choose? Jacob I chose, Esau I rejected. We don't get to choose. Blessed are ye chosen of the Lord. Blessed are ye of my Father, Jesus said. Inherit the kingdom. If you have been called to be a Christian, you have been called of God, and you don't understand yet, neither do I, the blessedness that is involved in that. And we look at that thing as such a mundane thing that, oh, I received Jesus. You did not receive Jesus. He received you into his body. We've got to grasp that, people. We are so blessed. We are so chosen. We are Jacob.
Right.
We're loved of God. Isaac wanted to bless Esau. To get the blessing, Jacob had to deceive Isaac, his daddy. He got the blessing. Esau didn't. He, by rights, by every right, Esau should have gotten the blessing. He was the oldest. He was daddy's favorite. But it wasn't his choice. It wasn't Isaac's choice. It wasn't even Esau's choice. It wasn't even Jacob's choice.
Right.
It was God the Father's choice to give Jacob the kingdom of God. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate it. I want to get it in us. Father, help me with your spirit. Here with your spirit, I pray, people. You are blessed of God because you're chosen. And when we're blessed of God, we have the covenant of God. Tell me anybody throughout all of history, all of his story, you tell me anybody that was able to relate to God without covenant. You cannot. When you come into even the new covenant, the blood is in you as well as on you. It was on you in Exodus 25 in the old covenant. Do you remember that? He took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. They had the blood on them in the Old Testament. This is a Wednesday night teaching, folks. I hope this isn't too hard. They had the blood on them. In the new covenant, we got it in us. It's a must in the New Testament. He says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I cannot raise you up the last day. That's why we have to take it in us and have communion. That's in the paper. Esau, I rejected. Are you hearing it? I know you're hearing it. I know you're hearing it. I love Jacob because I sovereignly put my hand on Jacob. Not because I had to. Not because he prayed some prayer. Not because he shook some preacher's hand. Not because he woke up one day and said, oh God, help me. Simply because I wanted to. Amen. I sovereignly chose Jacob. He sovereignly chose Willis. He sovereignly chose Randy. He sovereignly chose Israel.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God loves you. God loves me. Oh, Lord, he loved me. Thank you. And he rejected Esau. Okay. Oh, blessed are ye. I want us to see that. Now, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, Jacob I chose, Esau I rejected, Jacob I blessed, and Esau I cursed. Now, let's look at real quickly the aspects of God. How many's in covenant with God? You're in covenant with God. All right, if you're not, you need to be, okay? You don't need to necessarily pray a prayer. You just pray that God will choose you. All right. Aspects of God. Natures of God. I want to get four of them. They're very, very clear without reading anything into any scripture. Four natures of God. Four natures of God. Very clear. God is, okay? This is where I'm coming from. God is something. And I want to write this up here. Give them to me. God is love. Boy, I knew you'd say that one first. All right. 1 John 4, 8. God is love. Good. How do I love you? Okay. Number two. Give me another one.
Assuming fire.
I don't think I can depend on. Yeah. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. Give me another one. God is holy. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have that one. It wasn't one that I wanted, but that's good. Holy. God is holy. Yeah. Therefore be ye holy. That'll take me right into the aspect that I want to go. That's good. Holy. Be ye therefore holy. All right. So if I have God, then I am to become holy. I take on his nature. Is this true? If I take him on in love, what do I become?
Love.
Did Jesus say, therefore men shall know that you're my disciples for your love, your agape, one for another. Good, good, good. All right, give me another one now. Right? But we're okay. I'll do it. You guys are going everywhere. You give me too many. All right. God is all these things. Yes, yes, yes. But is God a spirit?
We haven't read your
notes,
bro.
I know. You need to read my notes. God is a spirit. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
St. John 4:24. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When I receive the Father of spirits, what do I become? A spirit being. I have a body. I live in a body. And I have a soul. I have a mind. Okay? Then they go to warfare. And that's the warfare that we're fighting. So that's John 4:24. Okay. I take on his nature. This is what I'm wanting us to see. Then give me one more. God is love. God is a consuming fire. God is spirit. God is a jealous God. you guys are better than... I want this one. God is light. Okay? God is light. 1 John. We get back up here in 1 John again. 1 John 1 and 5, I'm pretty sure. 1 John 1 and 5, God is light. When God comes into me, then do I become light. As compared to darkness. I am translated out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light or marvelous love. Right. That's good. The kingdom of His dear Son. So that's what I want us to see. So when God comes into my life, I receive then and begin to manifest all of these characteristics. Every single one of them. Even the consuming fire. There's got to be some fire in me, people. There's got to be some consuming fire that wants to consume sin and burn it up. Right? All right. So I just want us to grasp it. Now, when I make covenant with God, and God is all these things, what am I making covenant with? You see that? I'm just not picking out the one that I want. I just don't get to get this good one here. I get the fire. I get the fire. I get the Spirit. I get the illumination. I get the holiness. I get the righteousness. I get these aspects of God. And when I covenant with God, then these are the aspects that my life takes on. These are the fruits. Fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. The fruits are fruit that remains. This is what I want us to see. This is the way we begin to function and work. God is covenant is what I want us to try to grasp. To communicate to God, I have to come through covenant. There has never yet been an individual that could communicate to God without going through God's covenant. God provides a way to communicate with Him. He provides it for mankind, and mankind then must adapt to, respond properly to His choosing of that individual, and then they respond properly to Him through that covenant. Did Adam have a covenant? The Adamic covenant. Okay? Moses, Noah, Abraham, David, everybody has a way to come to God, and it is through a specific covenant. How do we in the New Testament or the New Covenant come to God? Can you enter in any other way?
Right.
No. You're a thief if you even try. Now, get this, because this is the direction that I want us to see. God is covenant. God is covenant. Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. Who did God make covenant with? Jacob. Did He make covenant with Esau? No. How do you know God loves you? He chose you, and He's made covenant with you. He says, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. But then He says, take, drink. This is my covenant. This is my covenant in my blood. God loves us because He's revealed His covenant to us. He's illuminated Himself to us. He's chosen us and allowed us to come into His body. And if we've responded properly to Him, then we now have covenantal relationship with God. And in that covenant, you will respond as Israel did here in Malachi in the wrong ways, or as I pray that through this study we will learn how to respond properly. And it's very significant, I believe, that Malachi begins his teachings here and his burden here with love. I believe that the body of Christ today needs a greater understanding of love. Love is not sloppy agape. Love is not patting me on the back and say, brother, I love you, but. Okay? Love is covenant. Love is marriage. If you love me, you're covenanted with me. If you love me, Jesus says, no greater love, agape, doth a man have than he should lay down his life for his covenant brother. If you love me, see, I know if you love me because you're covenanted with me. Jacob I loved. Jacob I covenanted with. Esau I rejected. Yeah, Esau despised his birthright. Yeah, Esau was a hairy man. A lot of women today would like Esau. Yeah, Esau done all these strange things. He liked pottage and he liked to deer hunt and all these things. And I bet he got out there playing golf. But I hated or I rejected Esau, but I covenanted, I loved my Jacob. Then it goes on to say here in this passage that we read, that his inheritance, Esau's inheritance, would become the land for the jackals, or the dragons. What happened to Esau? What happened to Edom? Does anybody know? Totally annihilated. Year 100, they no longer existed. 100 B.C., they no longer existed on the planet. No longer. What happened to Israel? What happened to Jacob? How long is the covenant? Everlasting covenant. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. How do you know if God loves you? Are you continuing on? Are you leaving something on this earth that remains? Are you leaving some fruit that remains? God loves me. He gave me a son to continue on my seed. Why was it so necessary for a woman in the old covenant to bear that husband, a man child, to continue on the seed? Do you see that? I'm blessed. I have a son. You're blessed, Steve. Amen. Don, you're blessed. When has God loved you so much He just gave you two? Didn't even have to work for him, man. He says, here, I love you. Ted, you're blessed. Yeah. Oh, hear me, people. When we leave a fruit, when we leave seed that remains on the earth after we're gone and they're continuing on, the Jacob I loved principle, the covenant principle that God sets forth, God has His hand and His favor on you. And I only believe that He allows some people to go on because He knows that somewhere down the line there's going to be a righteous seed that's going to come forth. If there's not a righteous seed that's going to come forth, He'll just go ahead and get them out of the way because they're going to get out of the way anyhow. But God says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. I know God loves me because He's continuing on my seed and I'm leaving fruit that remains on this earth. Tebow, God loves you. Are you hearing it? Sam, does God love you? Amen. Just gave Him one. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us, people. Seed. He gives us seed that remains. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. I just want us to close out. Just let me run through these thoughts that I had as I wrote these things down. We're either blessed or we're cursed. Esau's inheritance is gone. There was none. It was given to the jackals. Esau is no longer around today. Israel still is. The blessing is the covenant. This is why it's so important for a woman to bear a man, a male child baby, to continue the blessing. Now listen, humanism has nearly robbed us of that truth. Humanism has nearly taken that away from us. We need to sway and start teaching the opposite of what real blessing is. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Without God, without covenant, your inheritance is for the jackals. Amen? We're blessed. Do we choose God? I'm closed. I'm done. I want to ask you three questions. Do we choose God or does God choose us? And if He chooses you, are you blessed? Are you chosen of God? Oh, blessed are ye of my Father. You are sheep. Amen. What is agape love? Right? But I want us to get another definition. Covenant. I want us to get that. I've always said commitment. Remember how I've always said that love is commitment? Okay, that's covenant. When I'm covenanted with you, I'm committed to you. But I want us to and when you start reading through the book of John and you read the word love, if you'll stick covenant there, you'll get His understanding. When you covenant with one another, that's love. That's love. What is love? Covenant. And then finally, blessing of God is shown by the continuing of the seed. Come ye who are blessed of my Father. Amen. Danny, bring Jeremy up here. Danny's wanted to dedicate Jeremy for a couple of weeks to the Lord. And he came to me today and he says, you know, don't forget about that. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. What a precious time. To dedicate a man-child baby. The continuation on of your seed, Danny. It's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God. You are charged to raise him and leave fruit that remains. Amen. And this one in there is the same charge. Amen. Amen. We got one coming here. I bet we have more babies per capita. Oh, I love this message. The Lord added to the church daily. Amen. We there we get into. We got the same blessing, same understanding. Does this give you illumination? Is God light? Is God light? When you understand the covenants of God, you start understanding the way God works, and you start getting illumination. Come on down here. You start getting the illuminations of God. I want the elders to come down. Let's bless these and just bring Jeremy to the Lord and lift him up. I'm sure that he's already been, but Danny wanted to do this here in our fellowship. Danny wanted to dedicate his son, his firstborn, to the child. I mean, to the Lord, his firstborn child to the Lord. And we're going to do that. Father God, we do right now. Lord, we just lift Jeremy up to you. Amen. Dan, just lift him up. Just raise him up. Press him up in there. We lift him up to you as a wave offering, Lord. As a wave offering to you. And Lord, we bless him. We bless him. We dedicate him to you, O God. We dedicate him to you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Blessed are you, chosen of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Danny, you and Marcia are charged with the upbringing of this child in the ways of God, in the covenant of God, in the understanding of God, so that there will be fruit that remains. And if you'll do that, and you raise him up in the way that he should go, when he is older, he shall not depart from it. He shall become a man of God. He shall be blessed of the Lord. Amen. The Lord says, Son, I put into you a nature that is not like other children's nature. And I put in you a meekness that is not another children's nature. And I put in you a joy that is not another children's nature. And there's a part of you and an aspect of you, says the Lord, that I have specifically laid my hand upon. And there'll be times, says the Lord, that you may desire to go one way or desire to go another, but the Lord says, I'll quicken your heart, and I promise to build a hedge around you, and I promise to keep you in my way, says God. I promise to maintain my covenant with you and to walk with you, says the Lord. I am choosing you, says the Lord. I am choosing you. My hand is upon you. My hand is upon you. You definitely are fruit that shall remain upon the earth. And the Lord says, there'll be a day coming, the Lord says, that you'll be sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God in a greater dimension than your pastor understands, than your elders understand. The Lord says there'll be a day coming that you will share the things of the kingdom of God in illumination and light. And this is the beginning of that day, says the Lord. This is the beginning of that time. This is the beginning of the calling of your life that I have upon you. The Lord says, I'm going to put a joy in you that will continue. I'll put a meekness in you that will continue. Amen. I'll put a spirit in you, says the Lord, that will worship me and praise me. The Lord says you're going to be a worshiper. You're going to be one that worships fluidly and easily. You're going to understand things of the Spirit in a great way because you're going to worship me in spirit and you're going to worship me in truth. You're going to understand my nature. You're going to understand my aspects. You're going to understand things about me. You're going to understand things and you're going to be able to share those things with my people, with my covenant people, says the Lord. The Lord says right now, I've even touched your ears that you've heard things and you've received things that children your same age or even older than you has not been able to grasp or receive. But the Lord says, I've touched your ears already and begin to plant seeds in your heart, and these things shall bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, says the Lord, and you're going to be great in my kingdom, says the Lord thy God.
Amen. Praise.
Amen. I wish I had that word.
Amen.
Thank you Lord for this family. We bless it. It's chosen of you.
Amen.
It's chosen of you. Amen. Danny, the Lord just says you to continue to strive toward having your house as you see it and as you know that it should be, to continue to be the leader and the man of the home. Continue to be the leader and the man of the home. And things, I see things in about 3 to 6 months, some good things happening, some real good things, and you're gonna be able to give a testimony. He just spoke and he got my attention about the jail ministry. You're to continue in it. There's going to be a difficult time ahead of you.
you're going to want to even drop out. You're going to want to stop because they're saying things and doing things that you're not in agreement with. But the Lord says, I put you there. You just didn't happen upon that. I put you there. That's where I've placed you. And you just submit to that right now, says the Lord. And don't cause friction and don't cause problems. But the Lord says, you just began to submit to that. And he says, and there's a day coming. There is a day coming when you'll be able to teach people the truth as you know it. But just for this point in time, it says, you submit. And even though you know some things aren't correct, some things aren't right, you just don't worry about that right now, says the Lord, because there's a day coming. That's why I put you there, because when these men are gone, then I'm going to move you right on up into that, and you'll be the leader in the jail ministry, says the Lord. Amen. 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 Blessed are ye, chosen of my Father. Can we go out of here today understanding God's love in a greater way? God's covenant. God's covenant is love. God is love. God's a God of love. And as we dismiss, we'll just have communion. And then as you have it, you're dismissed and we'll just leave. But I just hope that the passage, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, has become real and life to you. It has to me. I understand it now. I never understood before how God could hate, but I do now, simply because he wanted to. He's God. He can choose. He can reject. And when Jesus says, blessed are ye of my Father, please grasp how blessed you are. We're God's. He chose us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand how you could love Jacob.